Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up, you're always taught and reminded not just to look at people on the outside, but also to look at them on the inside as well. Perhaps that lesson was taught to you by a parent or a grandparent or a teacher or Sunday school teacher, and it's really an important life lesson, for there's more to people and more to life than what can be seen on the outside, and we see this all over in our world. Take sports, for example. When a player might not have the best physical talents or abilities, things like the player's heart are often mentioned. The heart refers to those inner qualities, things like hustle and dedication and sacrifice, and these inner qualities can help make up the difference for those physical deficiencies. As we continue going through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes a similar point with the first half of his teaching. He tells us not just to look at the outside, but also to look at the inside as he teaches us about murder and adultery. And he begins by teaching us about murder. And he challenges all of the interpretations that the disciples have heard from the scribes and the Pharisees. He takes what they've heard and he turns it upside down. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes as you hear what Jesus says. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." That's a little bit different from what the disciples had been taught, isn't it? Jesus is elaborating on the fifth commandment and telling us all that it really entails. He tells us that it's not limited to just killing someone, but it includes much, much more. He says, don't forget the inside. Don't forget the heart. For Jesus tells us that the one who is angry with a brother or sister is liable to the same punishment as cold-blooded murder. He says that whoever calls someone else a name is subject to the ruling council. He tells us whoever shows anger and abuse towards someone with a name is liable to eternal punishment. He makes the point that we can murder someone with our hearts and with our thoughts and with our words, for insults and anger partake of that same poisonous root as murder. He tells us that in God's sight, there's no essential difference between the two, although we might make one. So what does this mean? The good old Lutheran question, right? That means whenever we call someone a name, or when we express our anger to that person who cuts us off in traffic, or maybe whenever we let our anger dictate how we treat a person, we commit an act of murder in God's sight. This commandment isn't limited just to the external killing of a person, but it also includes the one we might do with our thoughts and with our words and with our heart. And if this wasn't enough, our Lord gives us another challenging teaching about murder and anger in the following verses, 23 to 26. The point that he makes with his illustrations is this. He tells us that we are to be reconciled with those whom we have offended, anger, or hurt. Even if we're to do something that pleases God, like going to church, he stresses the fact that we should be reconciled with that person. He says, give up your anger and seek forgiveness. But boy, can that be countercultural. Our world tells us that it's okay to store up that anger, to be unforgiving, and to hold a grudge and make other people ask for your forgiveness. But our Lord says, be different. He says, forgive, be reconciled. He stresses this because our horizontal relationships, the relationships we have with each other, can affect our vertical relationship. That relationship with God, we are encouraged to show others that same forgiveness that we have been given through Jesus. Our Lord's teaching on anger draws our attention to the heart. But this isn't the only commandment that focuses on the heart as well. He continues and said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Just like how murder is not limited to that outer act, neither is adultery. It has an inner dimension as well. And Jesus speaks with authority as he tells us about God's will in the sixth commandment. He wants his people to exhibit sexual purity, not just an outer deed, but on the inside as well. For inner adultery, lust, is the same as outer adultery in God's sight. For there is an inherent danger with lust. Lust can affect how we relate with other peoples and even see and identify them. Lust can damage marriages, friendships, and relationships. Lust promises everything, but delivers on nothing. It only deceives and enslaves. And Jesus explains the seriousness of this sin with his hyperbole, which is an extreme exaggeration. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And he makes the same point with the hand as well. As I've been at Emmaus for the last 6+ months, I've noticed that in the handshake line, no one is missing an eye or no one's missing a hand, which is a good thing. No one's taking this literally. And Jesus' point isn't literal here. His point is that it's better to go into eternity with one eye or in one hand than to have both and be tossed in the hell of fire. His words show us the danger and seriousness of lust and sin as a whole. He says this to get our attention. He says, don't forget about the heart in regards to adultery and murder. But these two commandments aren't the only one that focus on the heart. The other eight do as well, and we confessed that earlier in our service when we said, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. But as we look inward at our lives and at ourselves, we see our own sin and wretchedness. But Jesus says, don't forget God's forgiving, loving, faithful, and patient heart towards you because of me. For God gave us his Son so that we could be reconciled with him. For those who had murdered with heart or hand or tongue, he let his Son be murdered for us on the cross. For those who had acted out in anger or in wrath, Jesus took on the wrath of God for you and for me. For those whose actions had earned judgment and condemnation, he took on God's judgment for us. For those who had sinned with lust over the body, he gave up his body to be the sacrifice for sin. He did all of this so that we could be reconciled or made well with God. On account of Christ's death for us, God is no longer mad. He doesn't remember our sin or bring it up to us. We are no longer at strife with him, but at peace. We're no longer guilty and condemned before him, but we are forgiven, declared not guilty in his sight. God has a forgiving heart towards us because of his Son, Jesus Christ. But God is more than just forgiving. He's patient towards us as well. Our Lord knows that it can be a challenge to be reconciled with others. That can be one of the most challenging things that you might ever have to do in your life. It can be a great challenge. It can be a great struggle. Our Lord knows that we can struggle with anger. Just drive on 94 at 5 p.m., right? He knows we can struggle with lust. That's a real temptation in our Lord. Just turn on the TV or pull out your cell phone, and that temptation is alive and well. He knows we will have our good days and bad days with these things. But regardless of that, he still works in us through his Spirit to make us like his Son. He works in us to be more loving and caring and patient and forgiving and pure. And he works in us through the means of grace and baptism. He daily strengthens and renews us. Our baptism reminds us that we are always his reconciled people In his supper, we receive that reconciliation that makes us well and right with God and with each other. His word tells us about that salvation that we have in our Savior. And it teaches us and encourages us and equips us as well. Jesus' words today remind us about the need to look at the heart. And as we do, we see our own sin and wretchedness, but are reminded of God's loving and forgiving and patient and faithful heart towards you and me because of Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, our faithful Lord. Amen.